things about this man that I've seen over the years, not just his generous heart, and you know that for a reality. He really does want to see young leaders and prophets raised up. He's been mentoring. James, this is amazing that you've been mentoring and calling out those that God is doing a work in for this next season. Would you introduce Jennifer for us today? We've all known her for a long time. I knew her before she's married and her husband.
Yep.
But and I don't know if you knew this, but Jennifer and Martin have been with Karen for about 20 years before they were married on your board. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
So, they've been around, but some of you maybe have not met her. But I'm going to ask you, my dear friend, to introduce her today.
Yeah. Well, wonderful. So, my goodness. I have to reel my emotions and my thoughts in because I'm about ready to tell jokes. Okay? Because they tell jokes on me. See, that's why. So, there's a statement I heard from a statesman who's with the Lord many years ago. There are some who pray. There are some who say prayers. And there are some who are prayer. There are some who, now this is something I'm going to now take that principle and I'm going to reshape it. There are some who say prophecies. There are some who prophesy. There are some who are prophetic. There are some who are prophecy. They are a word. And so I have had the honor, along with Jerry, and then I would say, and Mickey Robinson in particular, who have had the honor of observing, watching, and helping cheerlead and nurture. I'd also need to say Jeff and Jan Jansen, Monday and Jennifer Martin. And to watch Jennifer grow from being a wife and to a certain degree in the shadows of an energetic evangelist prophet husband and being content and being a wife and a mother, having her own gift and watching her serve in the sphere of her family and watching her emerge with such incredible content, stability, and encounters with God. Watching you This is so, I have to be careful. It's a carbon copy of my lay wife. Because you walk in character. You walk in honor. And you walk in security in your own gifting. That's in a no competition with your husband's. And I look at this and I just cheerlead and I just absolutely rejoice, because this dear woman of God, I had the honor of writing the foreword for her first book. So Jennifer, would you come, and I just want to pray blessings, you know, upon you. We've ministered here in this house together before, so yeah, that's all right. So Father, thank you for Worship City Alliance, for One Stone. Thank you for Contagious Love International. And thank you that you are establishing Jennifer Martin's voice at the first of the year in a contagious manner. And that you are giving her words that are timely words. words that are in sync, words that help us to say goodbye to yesterday, and words to help us how to say hello to our tomorrow that becomes our today. And I just say that there is an Issachar grace that is upon your life to help people identify their season and their time, and then to supercharge them how to step into it with no shame, no blame, no fear, and no sorrow or grief about yesterday, but to step into the fire of purpose and destiny of their today with full faith and confidence that God has a great destiny in front of them. So I bless you as a father in the faith, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless
Amen.
You. Love you.
Thank you, Father James. Wow. Amen. Thank you so much. Can we just lift our hands to the Lord just one more time? Father, we just thank you so much for this time. And Lord, we're here for you. And we want you, Lord, to come and encounter us. And we want to encounter you. Lord, we want this to be a time, Lord, where you just wrap us up. Lord, I ask for the whirlwind to just come, even this beginning, the head of the year, just the whirlwind to come right now, God, the whirlwind of fire. We want your fire. Lord, we don't want words. God, we don't want to just meet together and pat each other on the back. Lord, we want you. We love you, God. And we just thank you, God, that the word that you come, that you give to us today, Lord, would be a catapult. Lord, would change us. Lord, would push us forward. Lord, would open the gate this year. And that we close the gate on 2020. Lord, we open the gate of 2021. And God, we're going to run with everything inside of us as if this was the last year we would run, God. As if this was the last day, Lord, we would minister. Lord, today. Let today be everything, God, that you have. And let it be all that we have, Lord. Unify us in the spirit of unity, God, and put the fire of God in our veins to run this thing. God, put the boldness in us, Lord, to run this thing, to never look back and to not be shifted or changed by the opinion of any other person, by circumstances around us, but that we know who we are in Christ, that we will not back up from who we are, that we will stand upon our watch, we will stand upon our ground, and we will see the Lord God go before us. Go behind us and go on every side because he is our guard. He is the glory and the lifter of my head. So, Lord, we just thank you. We glorify you in this place. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. For those of you that don't know a lot about us, Mundy and I have been in ministry. It's called Contagious Love International for about 16 years from 2004. I'm the one in the background interceding and doing all the praying, you know, because I'm married to Mundy Martin. Anybody that is married to Mundy Martin, hopefully you're not, and just me. But anybody that is married to Mundy Martin would know that you must pray at all times without ceasing. I understand that scripture. And prayer works. I don't care who you're married to. It works. You're going to get through this thing. And so when he's traveling the nations and flying overseas constantly and doing all of those things for many years, I had to pray, you know, because I had the kids at home and it was hard for me to not see him and him not being there, you know, sometimes weeks him gone. And a lot of people don't think about this, or I'm sure you guys do, but traveling ministers, their wives, you know, and the kids at home, it's the hardest part of the ministry. If we can make it through that, we can do anything. It's like run a ministry, that's easy. Raise kids, I need a board of intercessors. Okay? You guys know what I'm talking about. And so so for a long time, I was content, as Brother James said, and just to kind of be a mom, sit in the background, and I didn't want to step forward. In fact, Mundy would try to get me to minister, and I would say, I don't have anything to say. Don't give me the microphone. And he would force me. and he'd hand me the microphone to stand up there, and I'd be shaking and, you know, just so insecure about it. And, you know, he was trying to get me past that, but I never felt like I was called to do any speaking. I really was fine. I was content. This wasn't something that was my idea. And so over the years, the Lord started giving me these dreams. And you know what the first dream was that really got me started, that made me start thinking maybe God has something else for me to do that I'm supposed to step into? And it was a dream back in, it was on March 16th, 2010, and 3:16, so John 3:16. And in this dream, I was in the midst of a storm, kind of like we're in the midst of a storm right now. I knew a storm was coming and towards the city, and there were thousands of people, so many people, they were going to get hit by this storm. And I knew that I needed to try to help them. So I saw this exodus, if you will, coming out from the city on a road of people, thousands of people, and I saw the storm behind them. I knew it was going to freeze them. It was a cold storm. I knew that the Lord was saying it's the coldness of the heart. You know, for many, the love of many has gone cold, right? So I knew this was a storm coming against love. And so these people were coming out, and I looked at them, and I thought, I've got to get them. I've got to rescue them. I've got to pull them into a safety. And so I looked to my right, and there's this cave rock feature on top of a hill. And I looked at it, and I thought, well, maybe we could go in there. But it was so small, maybe 20, 30 people could fit. And then I'm looking back at them, and there are thousands of people. And I'm doing this in the dream, going, how am I going to get them in there? Could I get them in there? And then I thought, how could I not try? Because the burden of they're going to die was upon me. And so I ran. I called to them. I said, come on. Come on with me. That's what this is when you read it. This is the come on. Come on with me. Let's go into safety. So I get them, and somehow now in the scene, we're inside of this rock cave area, and we're all in there. We all fit supernaturally. And so as we're inside, there was this rock seat area. And upon the rocks were this blanket. It was a comforter upon this rock, right? Upon the rock of Christ, we're seated. And the comforter comes upon the rock, right? So I sit down on the comforter. And as I do, the Holy Spirit comes on me. I stand back up. So maybe this pertains to some of us in here. Maybe in your life, you've sat down for a season. But when the Holy Ghost comes on you, you stand back up. And the Lord was showing me, I've been sitting down, but you're going to stand up when the Holy Ghost comes on you. And there was going to be a time to prophesy. And so I stood up and I began to prophesy about the Holy Spirit. And I said, the Holy Spirit is a person. And I'm crying out like Catherine Kuhlman. That's the way it felt when I woke up and I thought about the dream. I was moving like her. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's very happy. Heaven is full of joy. This is what I'm doing. And there's all types in this cave, okay? There's Pentecostals, just all types of people. I understood all types of mindsets, okay? So I was especially given attention to the Pentecostal type for some reason, with the hair and the stuff, like in the bun, you know? And they're looking at me and they go, because they didn't get what I was saying. They didn't understand about the joy. I continue telling them, the angels are dancing. They're happy. You know, I'm trying to impart it, okay? Trying to get it to them, but they just didn't get it. Everybody in the place, they're just like, what is this crazy lady talking about? And so just then, the cave wall opens. And a man steps through the cave wall, and he says, who's saying that? Where is Mary? That man was James Gall. and I said, "Here I am." Now, wait a second. James knows me at this point. He knew who I was when I had this dream. But yet he's asking, "Where is Mary?" He knew that the person saying that had the voice of Mary. And then I answered, because now I know who I am. See, the Lord was showing me there's going to be a time in my life that I would answer to that spirit of Mary, and I would volunteer freely. And he comes and he grabs my hand and he takes me with him out of the cave into this big, large women's conference. I know it now to be probably one of your women on the front line. So it's a prophetic, symbolic, a woman on the front line. He's taking me into this calling. And in this big meeting, there's thousands of people, and I'm immediately hitting my knees and I'm weeping under the power of God. And on the stage is Heidi Baker. And you know that she does minister at the Women on the Front Lines, but she's also somebody who's taught me to open up myself and let the Holy Ghost move on me. And the other one I would say is James. Watching him in the early, I'm going to start crying. Watching him in the early days of ministry, years and years, I would be in meetings just sitting under him so I could just receive that impartation, because I love his heart. I love how he's real. And I said, if this man can do this, then why can't I do that? Right? So thank you, James, for being you and being real and teaching us that it's okay to be who we are. It's okay to say, "I am Mary. That's who I am. Get over it if you don't like it, because my God likes it." And James puts his hand on my head. I'm on my knees and I'm rocking in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, when the Holy Spirit just comes on you and you can't help it and you got to rock sometimes. So that was happening to me. And he prophesied and he said, "I want you to speak about this." And he told me he wanted me to go up and share before the next planned speaker. So this is all symbolic, because it wasn't my plan to be a speaker. And in the next scene, the meeting's over and I never went up. And I'm in the hallway and somebody comes up to me and said, "Why didn't you go up?" And I said, "I guess it's because no one ever asked me." How many times have people in ministry forsaken their callings and they're out there just doing whatever, God knows what, or even some of them became drug addicts because they couldn't handle it and they got depressed because no one ever asked them or promoted them or waiting for. See, I couldn't sit around and wait for James to promote me, even though he's doing that. But see, you have to know who you are. I am Mary. You have to know your season, your time. So I had this dream and I'm confused, because I didn't understand why God would give me that dream, you know? And I'm like, okay, that's great. I'll stick that in my back pocket, you know? And so then the Lord continues this bombardment of dreams, year after year after year. But I never believed any of them. I did, but I didn't. You understand? I was insecure. I was like, surely, no, this is just me. God's not, he's not telling me that. He's not speaking to me. He doesn't want me to do this. There's better people out there, you know, that are gifted. There's nothing I can add to the body of Christ. Like, there's literally, nobody needs me. I'm way different. Nobody even understands me. I'm totally not anointed. Like, this is my thinking, right? Because if I was anointed, I would look like somebody who's anointed. That's what we do. We say, oh, this person's anointed, so that's what the anointing looks like. And then we get confused with personality versus anointing. When anointing comes from the heart, not the performance, not the personality, not how loud my voice can get, right? Not my style. None of that matters. I can sit up here and do a nice show for you guys all day long and have no anointing. And so I started to believe in a dream that maybe God was calling me to something and I needed to believe in it. But that took me probably 15 years. I think maybe just now might be starting to believe it. Maybe. The last few years. Because I said yes. And I stepped into what he gave me, even though I didn't know what it looked like on the next step. And I didn't have all the instructions. I didn't have all the structure. God didn't email me, you know, the list of dates that everything was going to happen. Right? We have to go step by step. From glory to glory, you enter into the promised land. And so this is a walk of faith, friends. But we have to believe that who we are is who he said we are. And not because someone told you or you got the prophetic word that finally confirmed to you, you know, of who you are. But really, why can't we just believe what's burning inside of us? Why can't we just believe that, you know? That we are his, that we hear his voice, that we know him, that we feel him. You know, and I don't need a prophetic word. I don't even need another prophetic word. I don't need one more prophetic word in my life. I don't. I'm fine with obeying the voice of Jesus Christ. I don't need one more thing. I don't need one more person to confirm me. I am confident in this thing that he that has begun a good work within me is faithful and just to complete it. And God does not need other people to complete the work that he's begun in you. We've got to get it out. Now, will God do that? Yes. He'll honor. He'll endorse. He'll do things like that. But do you need it? No. See, we've got an idea where we give up and we back up away from the Lord because it's too hard and we don't see everything lining up and all of our ducks in a row and, you know, we don't have all the people, you know, on our side in our corner. We don't have the clique, you know, going for us and our name's not getting put on all the posters or something. And then we're like, oh, okay, I guess I'm not anointed. Who told you that? Where did the prophets have their names on everything? Uh-oh. Come on, somebody. What about the people that were in the secret place that obeyed God? The Lord saw David in the field worshiping him. And God called him to be king over a nation. He had one person come and anoint him. Right? Prophet Samuel. And he stepped into his destiny. And it doesn't have to be a known person. It can be, but that's fine. But see, God will put you where he wants you to be. No matter who says what says, he said, she said, whatever. Doesn't matter. God's going to take you where you're supposed to go. So it's time to be confident. It's time to believe it and run with it and grab that baton and don't let anything waver you. Do not waver. Set your eyes like flint on the goal of what he's given to you and you go after it. And you don't let anything stop it, no matter how long the delay, because here's what happened. And I'm getting way off my notes and my message, but we're going somewhere. I started going after the call after I started believing that years ago. But I want to tell you something. Nothing happened. Nothing happened for years and years and years to the point where I was wavering. I was tossing to and fro. I was quitting. I was giving up so many times. Who's been there? Who quit this morning before? And I was just like, I'm done. I was like, Lord, did you call me or did you not? I was constantly doing these conversations with him. All right, have you called me or have you not? What is going on? And the whole time, I didn't get it that he was causing me to find something. He was causing me to dig into him to where there was nothing left but him. He wanted nothing to cause me to have joy, nothing to cause my happiness to come forth but his presence. And until I got to the place where I said, Lord, you know what? I don't want it. I don't even want it. I just want you. I just want your presence. And I start saying this to him, and then he starts opening doors for me because I finally died. And I really don't care because I want to tell you something. Being up in front of people and speaking to you is wonderful. I will do it for the Lord because I love him. But I can't find in this place what I find in the secret place. Right? And so I became addicted to something so that when I came out of the secret place and the Lord wanted me to start speaking and teaching and preaching, I wanted to go crawl back into my secret place because people think there's glory in it and that there's not glory in it. This is servanthood. Servanthood. That's what leaders do. They serve you. If it was up to me, I would just be sitting at the feet of Jesus. I am Mary. But he, in the midst of me crying out, telling people about the secret place of the Holy Spirit, decided he wanted me to bring that message out into the open. And so it's not my choice. Because I'm in love with someone, and whatever he tells me to do, I'll do it. And whatever he says, I'll do it. Whatever he desires, I want to do it because I'm in love with him and I want him to know how much I love him. Therefore, I'll do whatever he says for me to do. And so that's what he wanted me to do. And so as he started opening the doors, I start going, oh, Lord, I miss you, you know, and going back into the secret place. I just want more time. I just want more time. I just want more time. And so as the doors of ministry started opening, I began to tell people this. I'm telling you, stop looking for it or towards it like it's some great, wonderful thing, right? It's literally like you're washing people's feet. It's not a great, wonderful thing, except for being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you find this truth in it, and then we can do something. Because then it's not about the glory and the idolatry of ministry. But it's literally about the worship of the true King. And so he took me on a journey of discovering that place. And when I found that place, see, everything, there's a timing for everything. There's an appointed time. And then he begins to give me these dreams and incredible dreams. Those of you that follow me on Facebook, you've probably seen some of these dreams that the Lord has been giving me. And they're very detailed dreams. And so as this started happening, I said, Lord, what am I supposed to do with this? I don't even know what you're telling me to do right now. And so he starts giving me direction. See, if we ask him questions, he'll tell us what to do, right? He hasn't left us. He hasn't forsaken us. He's going to lead us and guide our steps. Our steps are ordered of the Lord. And so I've discovered that as I've walked with him, that I could trust him to show me. And if I don't know, that he'll either let me know or he'll lead me into a place that will give me the understanding or revelation. I trust his voice so much day to day. I know he will not leave me because he's a good father. All my life you have been faithful. Is he not faithful? Is he not good? Wherever you're at right now, whatever you're doing, God is faithful to walk with you right beside you. He will walk before you and lead you. He will walk beside you and comfort you. And he will walk behind you and guard you so that nothing gets you and hits you in the back. It's time for the people of God to walk in the favor and goodness of the Lord and truly walk in these covenant promises that he's given to us. Hallelujah. I pray that as I speak, Father, that you would put faith in people today where they have given up on dreams or given up on things that looked big that you told them to do. Lord, I pray today for a fresh fire upon them, that they would be able to receive, God, everything that you've put inside of them, that they would believe it, Lord, the way a child believes. Lord, put that spirit of faith upon them right now with the fire of God in them to have faith for every single thing you've spoken to them. That they would say, Lord, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know that you're going to do it. I don't know everything, but I know him. And I trust him. And he is wise. And his thoughts are above our thoughts, and his ways are above our ways. And he's preparing us for something. It's time for the tossing to and fro to get out of the boat. If you have wavered in any way in your calling or what you're supposed to do, I want you to toss that wavering out today. I want you to choose today not to doubt one more thing. That you believe what He has said to you. That He is faithful that is promised, and He will do it. Say He will do it. Will He do it? And we're not going to let all this stuff going on in our nation, the circumstances, everything else going around right now. We are not going to let any of this affect our eyes of fire, our eyes of flint. We're not going to let it affect or move us or waver us in any way, because we have the call of God to answer. And He is with us, so who can be against us? We don't need to fear. We don't need to faint. Even when the wicked perish, see, the righteous are going to stand strong. We are covered under the covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so that's what my book is about. The dark horse. A dark horse means someone unseen. Someone hidden. That comes forward to great influence. And what I'm trying to tell people is, whether you come forward seen of men, seen of people or not, that does not negate the fact of the great influence that you're having in the kingdom of God, in the spirit realm, and in heaven, who knows your name, who knows your testimony, who knows every work that you've done, like Cornelius, who no one knew, but heaven knew. And because of what he did in his life, he had angels sent to his house. Come on, somebody. Because of his giving and his faithfulness and his prayers, that came up as incense before the Lord. Don't tell me God doesn't smell what we're just releasing to Him. Don't tell me we can't move the heart of a father. Don't tell me that I can't pray and cry out to Him and move His heart to hear me, to hear us, and He always does. He's so close to me. He's so close to you that even when you're thinking things, He's answering that prayer. Do you know that? How many times have you thought something and never prayed it and it happened? You just thought it. You just pondered these things in your heart and somehow it happened. And you're like, I didn't even have to pray. God's listening to my thoughts now because He's so addicted to me. He loves every single thing that I'm thinking. And He's right there and He just wants to give it to me because I'm blessing His heart so much He can't stand it. And He just wants to give back to me. Right? For example, we rented a car to go minister in Pennsylvania a couple years ago. And it was a Jeep. And I was just driving and I was like, I like this thing. This is nice. You know, and I'm just thinking, I'd love to have one of these, you know, great dream, far away, never going to happen, you know, kind of thing. And then just recently, at the end of the year, somebody messages our ministry and says, we want to give you a vehicle to your ministry. And guys, it's a 2012 Jeep Liberty. Yeah. It's parked out front. But as James was saying, when you're a prophetic person, I don't know what I am, I'm something. But whatever I am, my life tends to prophesy, as James was saying. I am the awakened dark horse prophet, okay? I'm one of them. My life is testifying to what people can do when they are not known, when no one knows their name. If you will answer the call and just step out, God will begin to grow, but it takes time. It takes time for everything to come into place. It's not like you wake up the next day and everything's broke through, you know? Come on. You have to be faithful the way God is faithful, and He's long-suffering. He endures. We have to do the same thing with Him. We have to trust that our end is assured, and we're going to get there. We're going to see the fulfillment of everything He's told us, but it's a process and it's a walk. And we don't expect everything to come today or tomorrow, and I'm okay and content with where I am today. Because where I am today, I'm growing for my tomorrow. And where you are right now, God's preparing you. So why do you want to jump ahead when what you need to have right now is going to be what causes breakthrough in the future? What I'm learning in the secret place with the Lord, what I learned those 10 years, I would never trade for anything. I wouldn't trade it for millions of dollars. And so they give us this Jeep, and I said, Lord, this is hilarious, because I just thought, all I did was think I'd like a Jeep. I didn't pray, Father, give me a Jeep. I didn't break it through. I didn't have to sow a $1,000 seed. Uh-oh. I'll go ahead and go now. I'm so sorry. It's great to be here. But seriously, I just thought it, and it happened. I know the thoughts that you have. And so the Lord did another joke on me when I went to get the tags for it. I'm in line and there's like 40 people because they're not letting people in right now, you know. So there's like 40 cars in front of me. And when I get my tag, I look at it and it says 4x4. 4x4. Okay, a 4x4 is like an off-road vehicle, like a Jeep. So the Lord was prophesying, confirming it to me twice, and I finally got it because sometimes I'm slow. Is there anybody else that's slow sometimes like me? And so he has to say it a couple times, or three or four or five, or a million. And I finally got it, and he's like, you're off-road. He said, I'm calling you to go off-road. I was like, oh, okay. Like what Mundy is doing, Mundy is spearheading our off-road ministry right now, because it's off the main road, and he's doing street ministry every day, going in the streets, evangelism, reaching to, you know, the poor, ministering to drug addicts, seeing them get set free, praying for them, seeing miracles, seeing people get saved, seeing people get baptized in the lake, you know, that people just want to get their life right with Jesus. So Monday's off road because he's not doing the main thing. He's not doing the mainstream, although he still is. He's speaking. But I want to tell you something. He doesn't want to. He loves what he's doing. So we've had this changing of the guard, in a sense. But every person getting in their place where they're supposed to be, like we were, what we were talking about, find your place in your anointing and get in it, and the favor begins to flow because you're finally doing what you were created to do. So what is that? Don't worry about if anybody else is doing it. Maybe you're the first one doing it. Who cares? Pioneer a new thing. There's always been pioneers. It's okay for it to look different. It's okay for you to not know or for it to not look like something. You have permission to be creative with God and create new things. You have permission to be unique and be you. I'm giving you the permission today. You don't have to change your style of ministry. You don't have to change what you're doing. You don't have to change who you are. You don't have to become different. You don't have to act like somebody else. You don't have to fake it till you make it. You can be you, and it's the most anointed place you can be, because God desires truth in the inward parts. And if I'm not being truthful with you and I'm just up here like faking, you know, a nice little message, which I could totally do. I can get my notes together. I'm very smart sometimes, and I can get a nice little message and it can be great. But God desires truth in the inward part. I have to be truthful to him and to who I am. And when I do that, the anointing flows. God is humble, he's meek, he's lowly, he washes feet. He chooses the donkey to ride in to announce his kingdom. He could have demanded the big white horse. He could have demanded the stallion horse to come in, and he didn't. According to prophecy, he had to ride in on a donkey. God has always been humble, lowly. In heart. Ora ma shandra he kia ma sandra ho koro bo shodre he. Kia ra ma sandra ho koro mo shodre he kia ra ma sandra ke. Sandra he ke. Just lift your hands just for a minute. Just worship the Lord for just a minute right now. Just begin to pray in your prayer language right now. Hallelujah to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that you are imparting even zeal right now, God. Just zeal in your people right now. Zeal, God, right now. That they would become, Lord, like Jehu driving the whip, God, on the chariot. Lord, where is the fire of God? We called this, behold, the fire. Lord, where are the people of fire? God, I pray, Father, right now, as we are intercessors in this place, as we are leaders in this place, we pray, God, for our state. We pray for our nation, God, that you would raise up the fire prophets again, that you would raise up the Elijahs, God, that carry the fire of God, that have the spirit of Elijah on them, God, to preach the truth, God, to a wayward people, to preach the truth, God, to a backslidden people, Lord. That would be so stirred up, God. So stirred up, God. So stirred up that they don't care what it looks like. That they don't try to tame the fire. That the wild ones, God, would arise. That the dark horses, Lord, would arise. And that would release your truth and your fire, God, to a wayward people, a backslidden nation. That would call to her, God. Our problem is not our government. Our problem is the heart. Our problem is the heart of a people, God. Wake them up, Lord. Wake them up, Lord. Wake them up, Lord. The ones that are called, Lord, that are not answering the call, that you've got anointing in them, that the devil is trying to keep them to sleep. He has tried to lull them to sleep, Lord God. And they are sitting in their anointings, and they're sitting in their giftings, and they are ready, God, to ride, and they have breakthrough on them. God, I pray today as an intercessor, Father, as someone who knows your heart, that you desire, God, the passionate ones. You desire, God, those that will wear their heart in the open, that don't care what it looks like, that have been consumed with fire, that can't hold back because your Holy Spirit, Lord, compels us. Your love compels us to reach, God, these lost and broken people out here. God, I pray for the spirit of fire and intercession, God, to be in your prayer houses, Lord, all over this state, God, right now, all over this nation, Lord, the spirit of fire would fall. God, the way it did at Brownsville. God, the way it fell. And the Father's blessing, Lord, the sound of heaven, the sound of fire, the sound, God, of your voice. The sound of zeal, Lord, in a people, God, that were so broken and so healed and so in love with their King that they don't care who knows. They don't care who sees. Let those, Lord, that have been hidden in the caves of the secret place, broken, weeping before you, God, I pray they would bring it out into the open. God, I pray for the weepers to come again. God, I pray for the spirit of repentance to come again. The spirit of burning, Lord. It's not us, it's you. You caused us to wake. You caused us to burn. We wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for you, Holy Spirit. And we know that we have not caused this. We have not done this. We know that we have not done one good thing, Lord. If I move in anything, if I have anything good happening in my life, it's because you have shown me grace. It's because of you. You have shown us your love. I pray, Lord, for people in this place tonight, if their fire has gone cold, Lord, like I saw in that dream, God, that you would put their fire in them again. God, relight the wick. Like that song that came out of the Father's blessing, light the fire again. Lord, that the fire would be lit in us again. That the sound would be lit in us again. The sound of zeal. God is looking for the sound of zeal in his people. the zeal that is full of faith and fire, because we know the one whom we've believed in. We know his name. We know his testimony. We know that he is tried and true. Nothing will waver us from that place. Nothing. God is raising up a sound in his people in the midst of adversity, in the midst of trials, in the midst of tribulations. God is releasing a sound in his people that is an unwavering sound. We will not relent. In the face of persecution, we will shine brighter. Every attempt of the enemy to stop you and break you and push you down will only strengthen you. He's only confirming the anointing on you anyways. Rejoice when you are persecuted. Be exceedingly glad. For surely the Spirit of God rests upon you. Just go ahead and get used to it, friends. The devil's not going to steal 1 ounce of joy in your life one more second. He's not going to steal it. In fact, he gives me more joy every time he tries to attack me. He might as well stop, because we're just going to get more drunk in the Holy Ghost. He might as well stop. He's literally working for God and he doesn't even realize it. He's literally working for God. The whole time he's trying to work against God, he's literally helping God stir his people up. You'd think he'd get it. But he can't get it. You know why? The devil has no wisdom. He's an idiot. Do you understand that? He has no wisdom because the spirit of wisdom exists in God. Therefore, the devil cannot move in wisdom. He has no intelligence. That's why you're like, what is the devil doing? He looks crazy. Because he is. He makes no sense. He can't figure it out. If he even understood what he was doing in Jesus' day, he wouldn't crucify the Lord of glory. He doesn't know what he's doing, friends. He can't stop what God is doing. Do you understand? He cannot stop what God has done in you. The word of God is breathed forth into you. And when God spoke his word, it's going to create what he spoke it to do. The devil does not have power to stop the word of God that has been spoken over your life. It's time to know it. I think I got a people that know it in here. Are y'all going to make me get Pentecostal? I think I got a people that know in here who their God is. And we don't stop believing in God because, you know, things aren't going like we thought it was going to go out here. Maybe God has a plan. Maybe his wisdom is far beyond anything I can even think. And so I trust that. I trust that. He's doing something. Maybe he's waking up a sleeping bride. Maybe he's preparing a people for a wedding. Maybe he's consecrating a people to be dedicated to him no matter what. They're not faltering. They're not wavering. They're not tossed. Maybe he's doing something. Maybe we need that. Maybe we need the shaking and we need all the stuff that we're facing so that we can actually become the consecrated, holy, set apart ones that Jesus Christ died and shed his blood for. How would we know if we're going to stand in the day of persecution if we never stand in the day of persecution? How would we know? So God is sharpening the sword. Because a day is coming where you're going to need that strength. You're going to need this flint. You're going to need this fire. You're going to need this faith to not be moved. God is working in us right now and preparing a people that cannot be shaken. They will not be moved. They will not be affected. Their minds are made up. They cannot be changed. They cannot be manipulated. They can't be attacked enough to get them to stop. They can't be told enough to get them to stop. Nothing that anybody says is going to do anything because they're Jehu cracking the whip. And it was Jehu and his chariot and his horses coming into town that took out Jezebel in the last second. But Jehu was determined to take her out. Somebody has got to saddle up in the spirit and get the spirit of Jezebel out of this state and this nation. And the very ones that Jezebel has been bound are going to be the ones that throw her down. The eunuchs that were in the window when Jehu said, "Who is with me?" And he looked up and her eunuchs looked out the window. And Jehu looks at them and says, "Throw her down." I'm telling you, we think that we know what God's doing. And there's a whole hidden slew of dark horses about to come out on the scene. That's coming out of sin. They're coming out of the camp of bondage. They're coming out of the spirit of Jezebel. I am telling you, and they are going to run this race. And they might pass us, but that's okay. That's okay. I'm okay with that. But they've seen too much. They've been through too much. And when they get delivered from this spirit of Jezebel, they are going to lead this charge, friends. And some of you, that's you in here. You've been delivered. You've been delivered from sin. You've been delivered from darkness. I was a drug addict 7 years, and I got supernaturally set free by the power of God. Age 15 to age 22, right before I met Mundy, I was on drugs for 7 years. Completely miserable. And I cried out to the Lord. I said, "Lord, my daddy told me you're real. Church tells me you're real. But I don't know that you're real. I've never met you. I said, if you're real, deliver me from these drugs. I will serve you." That week, my friends, I supernaturally was delivered from drug addiction. No desire to do any of it. No detox. No withdrawal. Even the pack of cigarettes a day that I smoked was completely gone. And God showed me that day that He loves me. And He loves you. And His love is so deep that we can't even experience it in this body. And I wish I could. I wish I could throw this thing off right now and just go be with Him. But it's better that I stay for those of His children that He burns for, because I love Him. I want them. I want them to come home. I pray that we would have the spirit of evangelism again. Even as intercessors in here and leaders and teachers and pastors and prophets and all the things that we are, that we would still stop for the one and burn for them and tell them about the Lord God and pray for them and let the anointing touch them. It's time to go off-road, my friends. Come out of the secret place. Come out of the hiding place. Go into the highways. Go into the byways. Compel them to come in. Can you imagine if only a few handful of people could turn the world upside down in Acts, what we could do today if a few handful of people in every city would get the vision for their city? And that's what I pray right now, Father, that we would have a vision for our city. And Lord, that the people, God, throughout this nation, the world, Lord, the people that are local in their cities, God, that they would get a vision for their city, that their city would be a mission field. That they would see the fruit, God, in heaven, not in the numbers, not if they go to another nation, not if they travel here or travel there or speak in 100 churches. But, Lord, their souls right here under our feet, right here where we are. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us that heart, Lord, for the souls in our city. I was full of hate. I was full of rage. I was one of them. Nobody came to me. Nobody told me about Jesus. Nobody prayed for me. Nobody prophesied to me in 7 years of drug addiction. Why? One couple came to me. Very sweet. They impacted me so much because they were the only ones that ever told me about that Jesus loved me and had a plan for my life. They impacted me so much that I can still remember their faces. They sat at one of my tables while I was waiting tables. They invited me to come stay with them. They wanted to truly see my life changed. And the way they ministered to me impacted me so much that they even said that. They offered to pray for me. I was very resistant. I said no. But what they don't know, and I'm going to tell them this in heaven, is they impacted me that day. I went home thinking about that. It did something to me. How could they do that? They don't know me. How could they invite me? They don't know me. I began to wrestle, see, because the love of God was reaching out to me. But this is sad. Nobody's ever tried to lead me to Jesus. One person did. It was a few weeks ago. I got so excited this young girl came to try to evangelize me that she thought I had lost my ever-loving mind. I couldn't believe it was happening. I was like, I'm in a supernatural realm right now. This girl is prophesying to me. What is happening right now? I got so excited. I took a picture and I posted it and everything. But I encouraged her. I said, please keep doing what you're doing. There's so many out here that need this, you know, and we're not doing it. It's time to go off-road, friends. It's time to get in your four-wheel drive and get ready for some rocky terrain because they're a mess. And it's going to look like a sacrifice. And you might have to give up your time. You might have to give up some money to help. You might have to give up your movie time or whatever to help these people. But this life is so short. It comes and it goes. It's like a puff. It's like a puff of mist and it's gone. And we get one chance to show Jesus how much we love him. And I still don't feel like we're doing enough. And I cry all the time and I say, God, we're not doing enough. Help us do more. Monday's out there every day on the streets and he comes home and he cries. And he wails under the burden of the Lord. And I feel a burden. I've been under so much heaviness as an intercessor the past few weeks. And I feel a burden. And I don't know how much time we have. I don't know. I don't know how long the window is. But we have to wake up. We've got to tell our people. It's time to get the harvest. Jesus had a mission when he came. And he said, I want that none be lost. And he said, go and preach the gospel to every living creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything which I have commanded you. We're good at the teaching part, friends. We're good at that. But the going part, friends, we need to go. And you know what? That's the place where it becomes not about us. We've got to lay our lives down for Jesus Christ. We've got to go. And I'm telling you, great is your reward in heaven. If no one ever sees you, dark horse evangelist, dark horse prophet, dark horse pastor, dark horse teacher, dark horse intercessor. So what? It's 100 years and we're gone. Poof, out of here. Everybody in heaven's going to know your name. And for 1,000,000 years, everybody knows you. So stop worrying about it.
Amen.
Go get the harvest. Go get the souls. Go prophesy. Go lay hands on the sick. Go cast out devils. Go do the work of the ministry. And great is your reward in heaven. I didn't get to any of my message. I wanted to tell the dream about Jerry. How about a 5-minute version? Can we do 5 more minutes? Y'all okay? Stomachs are grumbling. You fasted all day so far. You've been fasting for 2 hours. Like, we are, Lord, we are sacrificing. But I had the dream about the sound, and I just want to talk, I want to touch on that for just a minute, because it has to do with the sound that we're releasing and the spirit, and the harvest is part of that sound, because a sound is not just music, a sound is the spirit. So there's a sound, but it doesn't always mean music. You understand? There's a sound of zeal being released. And so I was in a meeting like this. We're just sitting around. It was the worship at the beginning of the meeting, and the worship wasn't going there. You know what I mean? I wanted to go up, and we just weren't going there. It's just kind of like a nice little traditional worship songs and things. And then the Spirit of God hits me, and Jerry's standing in front of me, and his back is to me. We're both facing the stage, so Jerry's in front of me. And when I see him, I put my hands on his shoulders. And as I put my hand on his shoulder, somehow I went up a step or something, because now I'm up a little bit higher. And as I put my hand on his shoulders, both of my hands, a sound began to rise out of me. And the sound was, "The Lord Most High, the Lord above the heavens, the Lord Most High, the Lord above the earth." I began to sing this sound. I sang it over and over loudly. I was taking over the whole atmosphere of the place because I'm loud. Even without the microphone, I'm so loud. When I sing and when I worship, I can't help it. And the worship team hears it, and they start getting this, like, fast, like, praise, joy sound going with it. So it was like, "The Lord Most High, the Lord above the heavens." And they were like, "Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun." They were like, I mean, getting it. "The Lord Most High, the Lord above the earth." And the whole place erupts in praise and joy, and we're worshiping and we're dancing, and the sounds releasing. It was so free, you know, and it was just amazing. I mean, it would look like a dance party. Literally, everybody was out of their chairs. They were up here, and they were just going nuts. And then we did that for a long time. We were having so much breakthrough. I felt as if I was going to float up to heaven. It was so ecstatic, the praise and the worship. Have you ever had moments like that? And the glory where the praise hits like that, you just literally feel like you might go off the ground, you know? And they noticed the time, I guess, and they kind of went back into their set, in their traditional set. And the people noticed the time, so they started going back to their chairs. And I went, "No! No, 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 no!" And I'm calling to everybody, and I run and I take the microphone. This isn't even my meeting. And I said, "No, no, no, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop." And I woke up in that moment of saying, "Don't stop." Now, I had this dream on 12/12/2018. 12/12. 12 represents the number of government. Whenever I have a dream and it's two numbers like that, which has happened often, I know to pay attention to the dream. Specifically, God's confirming it. So, real quick, in Isaiah 9, verse 7, it says, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And we know the scripture where it says, "The government shall be upon his shoulder." That's right before it. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." Okay? So the Lord had me resting my hands on your shoulder, because not only do you represent a fathering, shepherding movement, you actually went and sat under that sound of praise at the Father's blessing. And then you came back and you guys carried that on here in Nashville, Tennessee. And I knew the Lord was saying that sound couldn't release until it's like I connected with you, but it's also you were being like a foundation, you know, and it was releasing that sound for me. And you're like a, you know, father to us too. So you're a pastor to Mundy and I, because when he was wearing a mohawk and leather and cheetah pants, like, Jerry was pouring into him. Now, I didn't know him. Disclaimer. I did not know Mundy Martin when he wore cheetah pants. Okay? So just want to put that in there. But Monday got so touched at your church. And so there's a sound that God is saying that's going to come out of this place of government. So we're looking to a natural government right now. But God is saying, look to his government. It's time to get our... I know that we have faith and we're contending, and I know that. And we're going to still trust the Lord. We're going to believe God, and we're going to keep going. But nothing's going to waver us. Nothing's going to change. That's all I'm saying. Because we've got a mission. We've got a calling from heaven. The zeal of the Lord's going to perform this. God is establishing his government in his people, not just in the land. In his people, there's a government that is established. Do not let what's happening in the natural affect what you see in the spirit, because God is always doing something behind the scenes in the hidden place that people don't see. Because why? He's a humble king. He's not out proclaiming himself. His people proclaim his praises, but he's not doing that. Even Jesus said, who do you say that I am? He wasn't going around saying, I am this. Who do you say that I am? He's establishing his government. Who do you say that he is right now? There's a new sound as we get this place, that Jesus is king, that we will understand that by revelation, and that the sound, this zeal sound of exuberant praise and worship and who he is as sovereign king, and that authority realm sound is releasing in the body of Christ. It started this last year with the Let Us Worship movement and all of that, and it's going to continue in the body. There's a place of praise and sound that God is taking us. And there's something about the praisers going before the army, going before the battle. Okay, it's not just a sound. We're not just beating a drum. We're doing something in the spirit realm. And we can't stop when we hit it, guys. We can't stop when we hit that place in the spirit of praise and freedom. We've got to keep going. We've got to press in. There's something that God has for us. What is it all about? God enjoys our praise. He's enjoying himself when we sing to him. And what? Sorry you're having a good time listening to us, but now we're going to go sit down. Right? So when we're singing to him and he's smelling the incense, don't be so quick to shift gears, right? And we're not going to do that. We know not to do that. But I believe that the Lord is teaching the church this place of the sound. And it's the sound of zeal. I just said that today, the sound of zeal. I like it. That's a new word. Thank you guys for pulling that revelation out. The sound of zeal. And so just a few months before that, I had a dream on 7/7/2018 with John and Carol Arnott, and I saw the sound being released again. So that was 7/7/2018. I saw a sound from the Father's blessing coming back, and there was a scroll being given to John and Carol. And they were looking at it, and joy was beaming out of them because they couldn't believe that the sound was reviving. So I don't know what that means or what it looks like. Either it's going to be a song or the sound or whatever, but John and Carol are going to see it, they're going to know it, and they're going to say, that's it. And so that was 7/7, completed work, and then Jerry's in the next dream, and Jerry knows John and Carol are not. And then you were in my dream on 12/12/2018. So there we have the double numbers. 7/7 completed work, 12/12 government, apostolic. The sound, there is a governmental high praise sound that is going to shift the atmospheres of churches, cities, states, and the nation. And I had these dreams before the Let Us Worship movement happened, and that is the will of God. God birthed that in the earth. Because that's what it's going to look like, guys. That's the sound that God is releasing right now. And it's doing something. It's shifting something. Even if you don't see it in the natural, I'm telling you guys, God is shifting everything in the spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? His people are getting it. There's a shift and a shaking happening right now. And so when I had that vision about Elijah the prophet, I know that we're finished and I'm going way long. I told him not to tell me 11:30. Because then I go to 12. It's 11:30. I'm almost there. So when I had that vision about Elijah the prophet, I just want to hit on this real quick because it goes with this. And I had it on November 19th this year. I was falling asleep, and I saw the Spirit of Worship movement, Sean Foyt and his team, in a car driving down a road. They pulled off the road, and they just stopped the car, and they got out. And I'm thinking, what's happening? I could tell that they were disheartened. They were upset. I could feel like they wanted to quit. They just wanted to stop, right? And so that's what's happened with the spirit of worship, because after that, all of this stuff happened, a lot of people just parked. They're like, okay, I'm done. Like, we thought the breakthrough was coming already. We thought everything was going to shift. We thought everything was going to flip, right? We just blow after blow after blow after blow. So people are like, okay, I'm just going to pull over. I'm just going to get out right here. I'm just going to wait on the Lord, you know? And so as I looked, they're standing on the right side of the road, and a line of prophets are on the left of the car. And I'm looking at them, and they're in these long brown robes. This has never happened to me like this before. I was falling asleep, and I went into this vision realm. So usually I get my words through dreams. So I'm watching this play out like a movie before I realize that I even saw it, you know? And then I'm like, what was that, right? And so I saw them, and there was about 9 of them or so, and they're all in brown robes, and they're standing shoulder to shoulder in a line looking at them at the car. And they were so full of, fire and faith and the Spirit of God. And the middle one opened up this scroll, and he showed it to the worshipers. And I knew they wanted the worshipers to see something. And I'm like, what is on that scroll? I was allowed to go. Literally, while I'm looking, the Holy Spirit takes me into the scroll like I'm time traveling or something. I'm going into it like a door. And now I'm into this new place. And I look and I see this golden, like, altar with jewels all over it. Very shining, and it was beautiful, okay? I knew it was an altar. Just perceived it was an altar as I was looking at it. And then the Holy Spirit speaks to me. The voice of the Lord comes in the dream, and he says, behold the great Elijah the prophet. So then I knew it was the altar that Elijah built. But Elijah didn't build a golden altar with jewels all over it. Elijah built an altar of rocks and poured water on it. And then fire came upon that altar. And so I knew what the Lord was saying, that what Elijah had built, what Elijah stood for in his life, that was a beautiful, golden, glorious thing, right? Because I saw the golden altar with the jewels. And the Lord was saying, this is glorious. Behold the great Elijah the prophet. And when he said, behold, in my spirit, it was like he was saying, look at him, look at his life, look how he stood, look at the fire, look at the tenacity, look at the faith on that man, look how he stood in the face of the prophets of Baal, and he was the only one, but he didn't back up from the word of the Lord. And that's what God is saying to us right now. Behold how Elijah stood, and I want you to stand like that. And in my vision, then I saw Elijah. God showed me Elijah, and I saw vultures trying to come at him. Vultures like to peck out the eyes of their prey to take their vision so they can't see to defend themselves. They can't see anything going on before then they consume their prey alive because they're evil. So this vulture was trying to get the Elijah prophet's vision. Yeah. Right. And the good news is Elijah, all he did was do this with his hand. And the anointing froze that vulture in the, it was literally trying to come at him, and it couldn't move like farther than this, like a force field. It could not get to him. It's time to stand, my friends, with faith that is unmovable, unshakable. The way Elijah stood. And I'm telling you, whatever's trying to come and take your vision is not going to take your vision in Jesus' name. Let's pray. I'm finishing. Father, I thank you right now. Lord, as you showed me that vision that is for now, Lord, I pray for everyone in this place, God, that whatever vulture has come to make them blind, to make them not see, I speak to those vultures right now. I curse every demonic assignment against your calling. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind every devil that has tried to back you up from the fullness that is inside of Christ, that is inside of you. Stand up, sir. You right there. Sir, you right here. Yeah. Yes, you. Can you stand up right now? Everybody keep praying, please. Can we just move with the Holy Spirit for just a minute? Every assignment that has come against you, right now, the Holy Ghost is breaking that off. Receive it right now. The anointing is coming all over you, sir, from your head to the soles of your feet. Everything that's tried to take your fire, everything that's tried to come against your family, by the power of God right now, I serve the devil notice that has come against this man and his assignment. I don't know who you are, sir. I don't know anything about you. But the Holy Ghost does. And I'm telling you right now, he says that heaviness has to go. He says it has to break today in the name of Jesus Christ, because you're his son. He says you're his son. He says you're his son. That has to go right now. Right now, lack, get off this man. Get off his life right now in Jesus' name. I break you. I curse you right now. I curse it right now. Right now, lack, get off of him. The insecurity, get off of him. Abandonment, get off of him. No, he's not left. No, he's not left. No, he's not been abandoned. You lying devil. Get off this son right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. The anointing is burning out those lies. The anointing is burning it out. Let the fire of God come upon him. Keep praying, saints. The fire right now. The fire right now. Lord, that fire, Lord, release it in him right now from his head to the soles of his feet. God, the fire like flint. The fire like flint, Lord. Right now in Jesus' name. There it goes. There it goes. There it goes. There it goes. Right now. Power to run. 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 And power to shift gears. The Lord says, power to shift gears, son. Son. You're getting power to shift gears. I don't know what that means. You know what that means. The Lord says, power to shift gears. Right now. Hey! Hey! Power to shift gears, son. Transmission time. Hallelujah. Just receive that right now. Be encouraged by God. Every vulture, every demon, every single person, every person in the sound of my voice right now, because I have authority to break this off your life right now in Jesus' name. Every assignment to stop you is broken right now in the name of Jesus. Close your eyes. Receive from the Lord right now. Lift your hands to the Lord. Receive the power. Receive the anointing. Receive the fire of God. Receive what heaven is releasing right now. Fire to run. Fire to run. Fire. Fire. Hey, na 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 na. Fire, spirit of fire, spirit of fire, burn, 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 burn. Ure ni na na na, kore de. Oh, yeah, no, yeah, 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 yeah. So, no, yeah, no, yeah. Somebody needs a miracle in your hips. And you need a miracle in your digestive system, in the lower intestines, in the front. There's something. Who is that? Is that you? Do you need a miracle in your hips? Yeah? So, just receive. Lord, I thank you for those new hips right now. Go ahead and receive it. Thank you, Lord, for that healing fire. See, I know that he's doing that because the fire is on me in that place. That's how I know. He puts the fire on my body when he's healing something. By the way, COVID has been attacking the nervous system because God is actually healing the nervous system. God is healing the operating system of the body of Christ. And the devil tried to come in and attack what God is doing in the spirit. God is blessing his body. He's healing the nerves. Come on, somebody. That thing's not from God. That's from the devil. God is healing it right now, the operating system. He's healing the nerves. If you need healing in your nerves, I just want you to lift your hands to the Lord right now. There's fire all over you. There's fire all over you right now. There's fire. Somebody's getting healed in your stomach. Who's that? Where are you? Wave at me. Okay, there's two. Receive it right now. There's fire going in your stomach right now. You're going to feel it right now. There it goes. Healed. In Jesus' name. The Lord loves the purity of your heart. The Lord loves his little girl. He says, you are so special to him. Even from a little girl, you have been set apart and consecrated with a tender, loving mercy. Hallelujah. The Lord loves you. He loves you. Feel that love pouring through you right now. Whoa! Whoa! Just focus. Come on, a few more minutes. Something's happening. Just receive. If you need a touch in your body right now, there's healing all over this place. There's healing angels all over this place. They're moving around you. They're jumping. They're jumping from person to person right now. If you need that, receive it right now. Receive your touch. Because our Father's good, he's good, he's good, he's good, he's good, he's good, he's good. Hey, yeah. Oh, praise him now. Praise him now. Give him praise.
Praise him. Give him praise.
this morning. I know that Karen has a word. Maybe Pastor Mark, would you extend your hands? This young dark horse. And Karen, if you've got a word for her, we want to send her out. And I don't know if anyone's officially welcomed you to this city. It's your city, but sometimes I think we miss a step or two. And I want to just say today, we officially welcome this ministry to Nashville. We officially say, Courageous Love International, you're welcome here. Now, you've been at the outskirts of the city, but I'm going to speak from the center of the city. You're welcome. We welcome you. Is that right?
I've known you for 20 years. You and I knew you when you had just gotten delivered from drugs, and you and Monday were part of my life, and I got to have a part in mentoring you. But before I just released this word, I was like, wow, you are just a beautiful woman in the Lord. Like, you're in the Spirit. I heard the Lord say, she is gorgeous. So what a powerful word. Amen. But Jerry always asks, you know, does anybody have a word? And this morning, a word formed in my spirit for you. And it's the story of Joshua when the second generation had to be circumcised. And they came to a place called Gilgal. It said after they were circumcised at this place, God told Joshua to name it Gilgal. And so I don't want to speak that word Gilgal over you. In Hebrew, it means that things come around again for the second time. And I just heard the Spirit of the Lord. I watched you do it today. That you and Monday are walking into a new anointing. So the anointing that you are releasing is going to bring a new generation. Not, and I don't mean people younger than you. There's just a new generation arising that are going to get a second chance this year. It starts in this month, and your anointing was releasing a second time. It's called Gilgal. And they had to have a circumcision because the day that it was named Gilgal, it said, the reproach was removed that day, actually from Egypt, like the real pain of limitation. And you are releasing anointing that is really releasing people right now of some limited place in their mind. And I mean people walking with God 30 and 40 years. It's everything you said. But here's the second part. It was from Gilgal that Elijah went from Gilgal with Elisha. And there was a double portion anointing. He went up in the whirlwind. You said that. And that double portion is coming on you and Monday now. Like right now, this month, right now. Amen. And it's a powerful anointing that you'll speak twice as much as Elijah and have twice as many miracles. Okay, here's another thing. It was at Gilgal that Samuel slew King Agag. And I heard this on the way down here. Tell Jennifer, the anointing that was on Samuel will also rest upon you all. Don't you all have, is somebody your son, Samuel? But Samuel, he slew King Agag. And the Lord says there are many people that are really under the demonic King Agag. And it was at Gilgal that Samuel has to rise up and really take authority over that demon. It's a demon king. And you have authority over that demonic king called Agag. So last thing, Psalm 37:5 says, commit your way unto the Lord, trust him, and then he will bring it to pass. So this is the anointing that you're going to carry, young and old. It's not about age. Commit is the same word in Hebrew, Gilgal. So you're going to bring people around. God's going to bring them through your word second time around. There's a chance right now to get into that flow that was diminished, stolen, whatever. I pray you receive this. I know you didn't want another word, but I really thought maybe I shouldn't give it, but you're doing it. You're doing what the Lord gave me. So I love you, Jennifer. We're all proud of you, and you are amazing. You're beautiful. And you are anointed. So we respect and love you. Amen.
Good word. Good word. Mark, you have a word? And when we're done here, we're just going to extend our hands together and pray for Jennifer just as we close.
Yeah, I just got a picture, even as you were sharing, because I'm telling you, Jennifer, that there was fire being released. and the word, and I love that off road, because even as you were sharing, it was just landing so specific, and I begin to get this picture that in the old game show, what is it? We're come on down. I can't remember. The Price is Right. Yeah. Well, there's a game on there called Plinko. And the person would go up there and they would drop this disc and it would go, and hit all of these different things. I just sensed that you got up there and it just shot straight down and it landed in the spot. And what I mean by that, and so I was like, what does this mean? Because so often what's out there, you're not institutionalized. Thank the Lord. And so often what we do is we go down, there's Christian platitudes, there's boxes, there's all of these other things. And so sometimes it doesn't even land in the spot. And it takes three times as long for that thing to go. But I just really sense in my spirit that what you are releasing right now, this dark horse message, is for now. There's fire on it. This generation is not only open and receptive, the Lord has specifically chosen you guys for such a time as this. And it's not just for the non-believers. This is also for those of us who have been walking with the Lord for a long time. It's waking up hearts. There is fire on this, Jennifer. So, Father God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, and I honor Jennifer and Monday. And Lord, I thank you for their faithfulness. I thank you, God, that for well over a year straight, now going into their second year of ministering on the streets every day with intentionality and boldness. God, I thank you that you are going to expand their reach. Lord, I thank you that not only are they awakening hearts of those who are not currently part of the kingdom, but God, I thank you that they're awakening hearts of those who have been walking, and Lord, maybe even in some places have become institutionalized by our Christian platitudes in the ways of doing what it is that we think that we're supposed to do because it's what we've always done. Lord, I thank you that you're using Jennifer and that you have used Jennifer even today to not only take us off road, but to set our hearts ablaze for you and your purposes, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. You know, this is becoming a regional gathering here. I noticed we got Clarksville represented, Murfreesboro, and we have a new fellow here from Columbia. He just moved from Kansas City, Bobby Romero. Is that right? Romeo, you like that better? Okay. Raise your hand so we can see you, Bobby. Somebody needs to take him out to lunch and get to meet this man. He's been sent by Kansas City. God's got a reason. Don't know why. Will you pray for the leadership here at WCA for the next season that God will show us what he wants to do with us? This is really a very important message you gave us today. We want to be on fire. We want to burn hot. Thank you so much. God bless you. And God bless all of you. Have a wonderful day. Come up and say hi if you can. Thanks so much for your sharing with your gifts with us. You have a word? Something burning? Okay.
I just have to sing this to you. Because it's who you are, but it's what you're releasing, and it's on very many different levels. We love you. It's our response to what you've brought today. We love your ways. We love God's ways. We love what you're doing in Jennifer. We love what you've done in Jennifer. We love her obedience to you. We love her heart toward you. We love that place in the secret that she comes, Lord. We bless what you're doing, Lord, and we say that we love.
Thank you, Lord. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day and week and year in God.
Hey, Jerry. Jerry, just a reminder, February 5th, Jennifer will be at the Well of Nashville. February 5th on a Friday night.
Yes, February 5th. It's Align.
Yeah, her and Monday, we're looking A-L-I-G-N, for a place to
A-L-I-G-N, Align. It's for prophets and intercessors mainly to align together. So getting the word of the Lord and releasing it. So prophets prophesying, intercessors birthing, working together in one space, in one room. Yeah, I know it's different. We're going to see what it looks like. But the Lord gave me that according to the Dark Horse vision, which is in my book. Because in my vision, I was at the head of the horse while the horse was giving birth. And you'll read it in the book. If you get a book, please get a book. For any love offering, get a book. Or if you don't have love offering, get a book. Because get a book, okay? And read it, because you need to read it. And so my son Samuel was standing behind the horse. There's more to it. I'm not going to give all the detail. While I was giving birth, okay? So there was an alignment. The intercessors were at the head. The prophets were the active birthing. This is all.
And so, the alignment is important. So, February 5th, the well, 7 p.m., we're going to come together and just let the Holy Spirit do this. Okay? Amen. And I have a school, Awaken the Dark Horse Prophet School.
Is it on? Okay. Awaken the Dark Horse Prophet School is February 13th. It's a Saturday in Smyrna. Just go to our website. The website's on the back of the book. It's all simple. Okay. Look at you. You're all fancy. And so go there and you can get the information February 13th. It's a 2-session on a Saturday, 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. at Hampton Inn in Smyrna. There's no registration. It's free. Please come, and we're going to get encouraged and keep charging. Amen. Thank you guys for having me. Thank you for listening. Amen. Love you.
With that address up there, you can sow into this ministry as well and give them a little extra help as they get started this year. God bless you all.